Welcome to It's Your Community with Vanessa Denha, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to It's Your Community. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo here with Epiphany Communications, Coaching and Consulting. Our next guest, Michael Pfau, is a life, leadership, and career coach with more than 20 years of experience delivering transformational coaching to business and individual clients. Michael founded Crossways Life Coaching in 2002, primarily focused on helping individuals discern next steps in their professional careers. This work led clients to take significant steps to rearrange their current work or find a new role which aligned better with their skills, values, and mission. Michael entered the field of coaching training at the Institute for Life Coach Training in 2008 and later was instrumental in supporting the launch of the Professional Christian Coaching Institute in 2010 through curriculum development. He is currently serves on the faculty. He has mentored more than 250 coaches to achieve their ICF, ACC, or PCC credentials, including me. I was one of those coaches. Michael uses a brain science approach to coaching when helping clients get unstuck, which often centers around mindset and beliefs. You can learn more about Michael and the Only God book, which we're going to be talking with him about today, when he gives out more information about his work and his website. And he is a certified and trained life and leadership coach. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here on It's Your Community.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. It's a real delight to be here with you, Vanessa.
And I'm very honored to say I'm one of the 250 coaches you've mentored over the years since I've received my training through PCCI, which was a wonderful curriculum. And I've been coaching now for a few years and I absolutely love it. And then I was so intrigued when you told me about your book, Only God, Stories of an Extraordinary God Revealed in the Lives of Ordinary People. So give us an overview of this book, Michael. What inspired you to write it?
Sure. Well, it was an inspiration. And back in 2018, at the very, probably started at the end of 2017, but I felt like the Lord was leading me to compile a book like this. I had some conversations with different people, and I would share just stories of how God just provided, miraculous ways in doing things and in my life. And, one example that I share was about needing a washing machine. When we first moved to the city of Philadelphia, we helped start a church in the city of Philadelphia back in the mid 80s. And at that time we had a dryer, which some reason somebody gave us one, a dryer for our wedding gift, which is okay, great. But we didn't have a washer. And when we moved to Philadelphia, we were deciding what we were going to do about that besides going to the laundromat. So long story short, the pastor of the church got a phone call from someone who knew about our church, us moving to the city to help start the church. And he said, hey, Procter & Gamble, this guy owned a small grocery store. And So he said, Procter & Gamble just dropped a washing machine off at my store, but I don't need a washing machine. Do you need a washing machine? He said, no, but Mike Indiana do.
Wow.
And so the guy brought it to our house. We put it in downstairs. I didn't have the proper electric even to use it, unbeknownst to me. But this guy, handyman, I suppose, he went and ran electric for us and all the stuff. And before it was all done, we had a working washer and dryer.
So
that's just one example of Only God stories. So there's 24 of them in the book. And we pulled these not just from our life, but from the lives of a number of other people that we know. Some are just really amazing.
Yeah. So. You know, they're not coincidences, Michael. They're like what Teresa Tomio and I like to call a good friend of mine. We call them God incidences. And or for me, it's epiphany moments, you know, those aha moments where God's saying, yep, I'm here, you know, I haven't left you, or I'm here to help you. So how does that help you in terms of the work you do to recognize this as a coach? Because you do some Christian coaching as well.
I do. And it is one of those things that you realize that God is at work in ways that we can't see clearly. Mm-hmm. And the timing and the way things work out, or his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And it helps me to have confidence that the Lord is at work, not just in my life, but in the life of the clients with whom I'm working with, mm-hmm. and aware that he is doing things to help them to come to know him better. And know him better through just, you know, these types of situations where, wow, you know, God, you really showed up in a small way, like, you know, a washing machine, or in a big way, as in the story about our youngest daughter who we adopted from China, how he put all that together.
Yeah.
And so it's really great to know that God's at work in the lives of the folks we're coaching and working with. So we don't have to try to fix them. We don't have to try to give them all the answers, because God is at work in it.
The book is called Only God, Stories of Extraordinary God Revealed in the Lives of Ordinary People. And Michael, how did listeners get a copy of this book?
So, yeah, so they can visit onlygodstory.com. So it's all one word, onlygodstory.com. And what that will do is it'll redirect them to my website and to the page that has the book and more about getting to it. It is an ebook. It's available in all of those different formats. So it can work on an e-reader as well as a PDF, as well as other kinds of electronic media.
Mm-hmm. How does learning or reading these stories help you on your own faith journey and in your work as a coach?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you say that, because just reading back through them, as we were prepping for this meeting, I was just reminded of some of the examples. And it's, you know, we all have these moments in life where things are going well and we're all happy, and it's like, yeah. And then there's the seasons where things aren't working out the way we think they should, or the way we think God has given us the impression they would, or however. And so these stories just are a continual reminder. And I think the difference with this, because we can read the Bible, right, and see stories, sure, and see how God showed up. But somehow we have those people wearing a halo and not real, you know, flesh and blood always like we are. But reading and seeing these folks who are just everyday people and sharing what happened for them and their stories, that they are inspiring, that no matter what's looking like, God is at work in the background, God is at work in the season. And, you know, one quick example of that I was looking at this morning, and this is about a lady named Debbie, and you read the book, you'll see it. But Debbie felt God was calling her to move from Virginia. She was a single young woman, moved from Virginia to Colorado to go work for a Christian organization. And she had sent a resume. It was told that a job was waiting for her. And then when she moved out there, all of a sudden they were like, hey, we don't know who you are. We don't have a job waiting for you. And she basically didn't have a job for 7 months. And long story short, she talks about how there was a church right across the street from her that had a young singles ministry. And so she attended there, and how those folks just really took her in, adopted her. And she eventually met her husband.
Wow.
And then after about 7 months, she felt the Lord was impressing her, hey, go talk to this Christian ministry again. She's like, well, Lord, they don't know who I am. I already tried. He said, nope, just go do it. And she did. And lo and behold, they said, we've been looking all over for you. We have your resume here, but there was no way to contact you. I don't know what happened there. But they were trying to get her. And the timing was perfect because the person who was doing the job was going out on maternity leave. They really needed her desperately to fill the spot. And so they hired her, you know, right then and there. And I'll tell you what's amazing about that, Vanessa. What she did is she worked for was the Navigators and Nav Press organization. They are the people that created the Message translation of the Bible. It's a very modern translation. It's called the Message. But it's a very popular translation. She was the one who typeset the very first edition of that version of scripture.
Wow.
And so she's like, every time I see people using that, reading it, I remember what God gave me. So the 7 months of just wondering, God, what in the world is going on here? She got a husband and a job and a truly job that is making a huge difference and will for generations.
So, Michael, what was it like to compile these stories with your wife, Deanna?
It was really fun. I mean, for us as a couple, it was hard work. In dedication, I said without her follow through, this wouldn't have happened. I had sort of the inspiration, the idea, the connections, all those things. But then as people would submit the stories, what we did is we had did interviews with them and transcribed those interviews. And she did the bulk of the transcription and editing. She actually has a degree in journalism and English, a little bit sort of like you, but her gifts are definitely in editing and writing. And so it was really great to work as a couple and to, again, be inspired, reminded. We went through our own God stories and thought about which ones we would want to use, and faith building for sure.
That's great. And so, Michael, in addition to that, we're in a new year here, 2024. So happy new year to everybody. And we're in a new year, and you as a coach work with all kinds of clients. So let's talk a little bit about when you're working with clients who have set goals for the new year. What are some of the things that you want to tell our listeners about keeping in mind when it comes to setting goals from a coach's perspective?
Yeah, so the goal setting process, and if people are interested in that, I can mention a goal template that I use and I like a lot. But the idea with the goals is to set it up so that people, what they can do is first think about, okay, what are the priorities? So I say, you know, as you think about setting your goals for the new year, it's what Stephen Covey said, begin with the end in mind, right?
Yeah.
What's your why? Why are you even doing what you're doing? What outcome will matter at the end of this year, the end of this month, week, day? And what is that based on? And so, you know, questions like, does this support the mission of your life or career or business? And so thinking about what the priorities are, areas like family, personal life, spiritual health, finances, whatever is important. So what's the priority? Why is that important? What's that based on? What's the result of addressing that? So thinking again, beginning with the end in mind. With that, then for each priority, so I just had a coaching conversation earlier today with someone who wants to work on their physical health for different various reasons, which is a very popular goal for the new year. And so the priority is so I can be around for my children and grandchildren.
Yeah.
And, you know, so what's that based on? What's the result? And so then setting up the goals for each priority. So that's that idea. So you set goals according to the priorities. and then the action steps to reach the goals. So that's the first side of the tracker. And then people go to my website, Crossways Life Coaching. It's all one word, crosswayslifecoaching.com. It's right on the very front page there. It'll say, hey, get your 2024 goals worksheet. On page two, then what I do is I have the daily progress tracker. And so, you know, for each day, it's got slots in there from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Wherever you're working, here's the goal. Here's the action I'm going to take today towards that goal, based again on the priorities of life. So that's what I have found really works well. And as you know, Vanessa, so thinking about coaching, you mentioned coaching, it's easy to do this. Lots of people set goals for the beginning of the year. Most don't follow through after the first few weeks if they make it even to the end of January, right?
Yeah.
But there's a study done by Fortune magazine that said if you work with a professionally trained coach, that leads to a 77% greater chance of success than working without a coach. And that, you know, and that's just makes sense because that's the accountability that's going to help you stay motivated. And then the other thing we do as coaches, as you know, is help people with their mindset and how, you know, the habits that they have and helping them to think about the habits. Are they leading them towards the life they want or actually undermining it?
Yeah. And as coaches, you turned me on the book Atomic Habits, which has been a great book to read. And you constantly keep abreast, I know, Michael, of what's going on in the mindset field and the brain science field, so you can deliver those tools to your clients. So kind of give us an overview as a leadership and life coach and career coach, which more than 20 years of experience of what you're, you know, what kind of clients you work with on a regular basis.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So the people that I work with a lot is in the midlife transitions, like folks who are in their 40-ish years, maybe late 30s, 40-ish, you know, it could be in their 50s, whatever, but sort of that sense that, hey, is my life really going the trajectory that I want it to go? You know, do I want to be doing this work, this career, living this life for the next 20 years, 30 years, whatever? And a lot of times people, because they hit that midlife, sometimes people call it a crisis. It's really not. It's a great place, an inflection point, to think, okay, let me step back and think, and is what I'm doing really what I want to continue to do? Or is there something different? Has God given me perhaps a dream that I've had in my heart here and I want to nurture it? And so it can mean, in some cases, a career change. It can mean not changing careers necessarily, but maybe an avocational thing where they start doing something. And these things can take some time. I've worked with people who, you know, do make a career change, and then other folks who start to move towards something, and it may take several years before they actually move into that. And so the career, helping people get clear about their purpose, their mission, and aligning their life towards that. That's a lot of the kind of folks I work with, as well as you mentioned, the mindset. So helping people who are, let's say, managers, leaders, folks who are trying to help others with their work performance, to be able to do so effectively using you know, those tools.
What inspired you to go into coaching?
I would have to say God. So, you know, I just mentioned a particular kind of person in midlife. So this happened to me 20 years ago, where I was in my late 30s and thinking, okay, what, you know, I felt like God had something different for me. Now, I mentioned we were part of starting a church in Philadelphia. And we had been a part of that for a good while. It was about probably 15 years, maybe a little less at that point. But I started getting this itch and thinking, you know, it feels like something different. I don't know what it is. And just over time, I ended up, you know, reading different things, and I ended up hiring a coach for myself. And this was back in 2002, and doing some different things on finding out, okay, what do I sense is the vision, the mission that God has for me, how I'm created, the giftings he's given me, the life calling I feel. And so stepping into that, there was the mission statement I ended up coming up with, and this was not immediate, this took a little while, is guiding Christians into intentional, authentic living. That was sort of the summary of it. Mm-hmm. And so I had heard about coaching. The person I was working with was clearly a coach and said, you know, you ought to consider a coaching field because that's something that will allow you to do that. Because I was also thinking, I love teaching, and I really feel like God's given me a gift there. And so I was thinking about education, higher education, maybe teaching there. And so I sort of put my toe in the water, and the opportunity to take a coach training course opened up in the evening. So it would work for my schedule since I was working full time. And the rest, as they say, is history. I finished that and then finished getting certified a year later. And then the next thing I know, there's a guy named Bruce Wilkinson. He wrote a book called The Dream Giver. Mm-hmm. And he also wrote a book called The Prayer of Jabez, which is a real popular one back in the day. But his organization was looking for some coaches to help people who purchased the Dream Giver book to work with them. And so I was... out of all the coaches they interviewed across this big country of ours, I got picked as one of those coaches.
Wow.
There were only seven of us. Yeah, I said the same thing, Vanessa. And so that's sort of my story, Alec. Yeah. So clearly the Lord opened the door.
And, yeah. And then you helped create PCCI in the curriculum in 2010, which I ended up going through that training for my certification.
Yes. So, yeah. So the school that I actually went to get my coach training for, it called the Institute for Life Coach Training, there was a gentleman on doing the Christian track there named Chris McCluskey. And he and his partner, Judy Santos, were teaching the Christian track for years. And so they wanted to start at a day and an evening class. And so there were two people. Chris picked a female colleague to join him, teach the day class. And then Judy asked me if I would join her and teach the evening class, the later class. So again, the opportunity was perfect because it worked with my schedule. And that got me teaching at that school for, you know, a couple of years, 2-3 years, whatever it was. And eventually that school sold themselves to another organization, and they sort of changed a lot of the terms and things like that. And so Chris, with the encouragement of some of us, started PCCI. He said, Chris, you really ought to start your own school. and so Judy and I worked on doing the Essentials of Life coaching class, working on that together, developing that. And then I also helped to develop the coaching skills mastery class at the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and it's been a great experience.
So Michael, I'm a firm believer. We're talking with Michael Pfau here today, life, leadership, and career coach. I'm a firm believer, Michael, that when we teach, we also learn. It enhances our own journey. How does teaching help you better your skills as a coach?
Yeah, and that is extremely important. Part of teaching, isn't it, that we get to sort of learn and relearn. what it does each time I teach these is it helps me to stay grounded and connected to the core competencies and the basics and essentials of good coaching. It's easy when you're just doing this to build habits and become, you know, get things that aren't working so well. And so one of the best tools to grow coaching skills is to have a mentor coach and get evaluated feedback. And teaching these classes is one way to get realigned, you know, reevaluated as far as, you know, this is what good coaching looks like. And so I'm consistently reminded of the value of being a very good listener and not just listening to words, but also the body language and the emotions and all of the, and the mindsets and things said and unsaid. So, and staying curious, avoiding trying to give advice, but just really being there partnering. So they are very good skills. And I think the one that I've learned, been reminded of recently is just the idea of affirming and encouraging people with the progress they are making, with the efforts they are putting out there. As you know, Vanessa, we can try a lot of things and sometimes it doesn't work out. Sometimes it doesn't work out in the timing we want. You know, all these, but affirming the encourage, you know, occurring, encouraging and affirming the effort and the commitment is really important.
Yeah, that's a great point. Michael Pfau, what else do you want to share with our listeners here in It's Your Community before we let you go?
Well, I would say, I don't know, obviously you have a vast audience. I would say that if you're sensing in your spirit that there's something that the Lord has been impressing on you to do, whether it's a big thing or a small thing. It could just be having a conversation with someone, you know, doing some act of kindness for someone, or it could mean considering the trajectory of your life and just being willing to step back and evaluate, is this the direction I feel I want to be going for the next season of my life? I would encourage you to stop and really give that consideration. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest hurdles that get in the way of us making those types of choices or thinking is our own trajectory. You know, we just get on the wheel, the hamster wheel, and just keep going. And we don't stop and we don't evaluate and really pause. And so I would encourage, you know, folks, give yourself that gift of pausing, stepping back, evaluating, is this the life I feel like God wants me to be living? Is there something else I could be doing or should be doing?
Michael Pfau, thank you so much. Life, leadership, and career coach. Give out your website one more time, Michael, before we let you go.
Sure. The website is Crossways Life Coaching, all one word, crosswayslifecoaching.com. And the book is, if you want to go directly to that page, onlygodsstory.com, onlygodsstory.com.
Michael Pfau, thank you so much for being with us here in It's Your Community, and Happy New Year to you.
You are welcome, Vanessa, and thank you for having me, and Happy New Year as well.
My pleasure. Any questions or comments or topics you want us to get to, you can reach me, Vanessa Denha, at epiphanycommunications.com. That's epiphanycommunications.com. You can also find me on any of my social media platforms, Epiphany Communications on Facebook or Vanessa Denha Garmo on LinkedIn, Instagram, and X. As always, we remind you to connect, communicate, and to collaborate with your community. We'll catch you next time right here on It's Your Community.
It's Your Community, a public affairs presentation of News Talk 760 WJR.